We're back with Representative Christine Watkins, kind of doing a small wrap-up, we decided, of the legislative session for this year. And we talked in the last one about the Senate Bill 49, about the rural film production, tinted windows, the vaccine passport, and the amendments and all those things. Now we want to talk about education. Education always seems like it's a hot-button topic when it comes to any kind of legislative activity. And this year, you guys did quite a bit for education as well. So let's dig into this, because I know education is something that's very near and dear to you.
Yes.
So let's talk about the different things that went on the education side this year as part of the session.
Besides almost a record-setting funding budget that we gave for education, there were a lot of bad bills up there that we stopped. Some of the bills, the sponsors of them, really got beat up by the public. And so they withdrew them. Some of them made it through, and we had to vote them down because we were invading the space of education way more than we needed to.
And so the first one that comes to mind, especially when we talk about it getting knocked down, and we can talk about it really briefly, was the Hope Scholarship. That was something that you felt really was dead on arrival when it hit the hill, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it didn't go through any interim committees. And if you have a heavy lift, a bill that you know is going to be controversial, you better go through committee during the summer when we started in May, and we have a good 4 or 5 months that we do all of that. That bill didn't go through that process, and it didn't even go through the education committee. It went through tax and rev, and they don't deal with education. And so the bill, because of there were people, very strong emotions on both sides. I want you to know that. But they kept changing it, trying to make it so it was more palatable for people to support it. When it was brought up, I think it was like the second to the last day, they got up and said, this is what it'll do. We changed so that we have all these requirements, et cetera, et cetera. It still went down 21 to 53. So that was a hard loss for them, but they can bring it back, but they need to work on it. It really wasn't ready for prime time.
So we've got that might come back. The other right. one you wanted to talk about was sensitive materials in schools.
Yes, and that was a bill that was a little sensitive,
right?
But it deals with pornography in schools, and you would think, oh, not my kid's school. Well, they brought many examples of books that they made copies of for us that we could see was currently in schools. And so a lot of us were not on the level of let's ban books, but if we don't need pornography in schools. So the best part about this bill is that it dictates a process that the State Board of Education and school districts need to go through in order to look through books and decide if they should be there in the school or if they need to be up in the universities or someplace else.
Well, and that was the one thing that you brought up that was probably the biggest problem, was that libraries in schools don't have time to go through these stacks and stacks of books that they get.
Right.
So that's kind of where this is going to come in and create that process so that they do have the time to take care of it, or somebody will.
Right. And if we have a process through the legislature, and then the school districts use it under the supervision of the State Office of Education, it'll make it so they won't be sued by all of these different groups, that they can just say, oh, this book is not appropriate for elementary, for middle school, or for high school, and we have this process, and this is the way it works. And so their concern has always been, we don't need lawsuits. We're teaching children. We don't need to be in the courts.
Right. And you know, and I think you brought it up. You don't want to ban books.
No,
it's just making sure that they're age appropriate.
Exactly.
So there's that one. And then let's talk for a moment. You want to talk about some of the things that you did for higher education.
Right. And so this is for state agencies and higher education. And we gave them a 3.5 labor market increase. And that's for the state employees. For higher education, it was we had a number of things that went for them. And it was for a 5.75% labor market and performance-based increase for the higher education people. And one of the things that they do is, if you're doing a great job, you can earn a bonus. You can earn higher pay. And so we funded that for them. We also funded some of their health insurance benefits and dental insurance. And then there's a 2.59% state pickup of public safety and firefighters provider employee retirement contributions. And that's for those that are in the Tier 2 contribution. So that sounds kind of like out there. But if you're in the Tier 2 and that's what you're in, that's an important thing for you. So we are losing employees in the State Department because they can make more money out in the private world. So we knew we had to step up this year.
So and looking at education and everything that went on with education this year, what would you say is probably the most significant thing that you guys did this year for education?
Well, for public education, besides that, we funded growth in our base budget. There was no controversy. We didn't have to debate it. It was funded. So, and then the next thing is we gave a 6% increase on the WPU. We've had years where we've given 2. So to give 6%, we haven't done that. Not in my time have we given 6% to public education. And that's what gives the teachers a salary bump. That's what allows the district to keep running. Now, I will tell you, and you know this as well as I do, even though we've given all this great money to education for a lot of programs and plans and people, we have inflation that is just knocking the feet out from underneath us. So to say that you're going to get a raise, it may be to keep you even.
Right. And I guess that would be one of the next questions that I would have is you bring up inflation and different costs that are escalating and things. Can you like point to maybe one thing that might make for a special session this year? I mean, you had even brought up maybe the food tax might be a special session that they'd call you
that
guys back for. Is there anything like that?
That would be probably the only thing. Sometimes we leave the session and they say, you're probably going to come back for this. Because, you know, last year we had several, because of redistricting, mm-hmm. we had several special sessions. We did not leave the session with that, that would possibly happen. The only thing would be if they work on the food tax, because that's a constitutional change.
Right.
And so that would be the only thing that I can think of. Now, whenever the governor vetoes a bill, if it's not been veto-proof, they may call us and say, will you change your vote or will you continue on with your vote in this particular area? So as of right now, I'm not looking other than maybe the one, the food tax.
And then before we get out of here, just two more really quick questions. This year you said that they put a record-breaking money aside for education. Would you say that this is probably then the best year for education in your memory?
Yes, absolutely. Because I came in during the recession days, mm-hmm. right at that. And so we were taking money away. And so we've just been gradually, because the state does so well, we have rainy day funds and we always fund the important things, education, social services, and our sales tax has gone crazy because we have so many people moving in and people were tired of not spending money with COVID that they went out and they spent a lot of money. And so this has been a good year. And we've put the money where some really important things, and education was right up there.
All right. And then one more really quick question before I let you out of here. As far as our area is concerned, what would you say is the biggest thing that came out of this session? Would it be Senate Bill 49? Would it be funding that a city got or something like that?
Senator Hinkins got funding for the research center in Orangeville. If that will continue to go the direction they want it, that can be a real game changer. He got $2 million for Carbon and Emory. And so that was a really, really big one. Just the tax cuts that we put into place, over $200 million in tax cuts, will be a little bit of help. Will it change your life? You're going to go on a trip because you saved a couple hundred dollars? Probably not. But we need to help in any way we can and still be responsible to the state. So I would say that $2 million in Orangeville, we still have some city things I can direct them to places to get funding. We were not allowed to fund city and
right.
county projects. And in the other one is we have $21.3 million that's going to be allocated for rural economic growth. That's where counties and other entities can apply for that funding to help with economic growth. And so that we haven't had that before. So I think that one's going to be huge.
So then I would say it was a good year for education and good year for rural Utah.
I think so. Yes, very much so.
Representative Christine Watkins, thank you so much for taking out the time to come and join us today. And we're going to let you go and go do what you got to do. Get it taken care of. And we'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in. Now, for more information on interviews like this one, you can always check out our website, castlecountryradio.com, and listen for Castle Country Focus on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.